Did I get the clap right?
No, and you weren't even in the frame.
Hell. Okay.
Welcome back to another episode of Positive Media Segment.
Man, I love this thing we're doing now.
Yeah, me too. We have a guest today with us, Sandy Duffer. And Doc are going to be taking the stage here. So I'm just here for a measly introduction, and then I'll let you guys have the floor. So,
well, cheers. I'll give a little background. I was walking in the hall. Sandy and I work together. And so I was walking in the hall, and we just started conversing about anxiety and depression. And it just kept going on. And as often happens with Sandy and I, we get into these kind of generative dialogues very easily.
Okay.
So I had to stop it, and I said, look, we have to try to do this on air because I think a lot of people should hear our dialogue.
Okay.
And so it was pretty cool.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thanks.
Glad to have you here. So let's walk away from this table all happier people. I'll let you two have the floor.
Heck yeah. So we're going to start with parasitic processing. Okay. So that's a big term, but what does that mean to you, Sandy?
To me, it means being stuck in a loop of negative thoughts.
Okay. So kind of, is this music going to ever stop? Or?
That's what I was asking, if it was too loud.
Oh, okay. Here, knock it down just a tad.
Tell me when.
I like it a lot. Okay, so parasitic processing is kind of what we know as a spiral, negative spiral.
Yes.
Right? So what are the features of a spiral?
So it would be repetitive negative thoughts, worst case scenario outcome, not being able to see anything positive, not being able to see any positive solution, only the worst outcome. Yeah.
So in my thinking, whenever somebody is in a spiral, okay, they don't, especially at the start of that spiral, they don't often recognize that they are in a spiral, but other people, especially therapists like yourself, okay, counselors, therapists can identify these spirals, but the person themselves, they don't feel like they're in a spiral.
Right, because it's normal and it's background and we don't think about our thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. And if you tend towards, like, say, alcohol, then, hold on. If you tend towards alcohol, you might be, like, consuming more alcohol, but not even identify that you're doing that. Or if you have a tendency towards gambling, or if you're just kind of a shitty person, right? Okay, can I say cuss words on the PMS?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. The happier people are usually the ones that cuss the most, right? So
I agree.
Amen with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's an interesting kind of aspect about this spiral.
Right. Is that you're unaware that you're spiraling.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would you say it's a spiral?
Well, because it's a little, to me, I imagine it as a literal spiral. Like you're just going round and round and round in the same thoughts. There's no way off. There's no way in a different direction. You just keep spiraling around the same issue, whatever the current issue is, real, not perceived.
Yeah.
You just can't get out of it, out of the rut.
No, you just can't get out. And you don't necessarily even know that you're on the spiral or that you know, it's not as if you consciously got on it.
Yeah Something happened, something put you there,
right? And you don't even know what it was.
Yeah,
you might not even know what it was that put you there.
So that's how does somebody recognize that they're in a spiral? I know, and in my brain, every time I say spiral, I think shame spiral, but that's not necessarily
No.
Shame spiral.
I don't think necessarily. I think it could just be a spiral. I mean,
yeah.
Shame generally comes in along the way at some point.
Yeah.
But not necessarily what started it.
I gotcha.
It could just be anxiety. Could
yeah.
just be some kind of baseline fear that you're unaware of.
So why are these spirals parasitic?
Well, they don't move you forward in any way. Your brain is in survival mode. And so in survival mode, all you're doing is surviving.
Yeah.
You're not future thinking. You're not forward thinking. And to get out of a spiral, to make a different choice, you need to be present in the moment and see.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and it's hard to stop when
so not reflective on the current moment, the things that are
right
happening right now. It's always you're stuck in what
is perceiving, what your brain is perceiving to be the danger.
Okay, gotcha. And when your brain is there in that place, what's interesting is you are so much more likely, and I've heard, I don't know that I can actually support this, but I've heard 5 times more likely to pick out the negative and so 5 times less likely to pick out the positive in any situation. It's like if you're actually scrolling, okay, mm-hmm. say on social media, you're more likely to kind of hang up on the negative rants and rate, you know, and just scroll past like the positives. Or if you're reading the same thing, or if you're talking to people, you're going to pick up on the negative aspects of the conversation and just inadvertently disregard any positive aspects.
Right. It's almost like you're blind to them.
Yeah. So that's an interesting recognition of a spiral.
Right. And it's like I again don't know the technical terms for it right now, but the part of your brain that looks for anything positive kind of shuts down when you're just surviving.
Yeah. That's wild. And is that because you're in survival mode?
Yeah, I think it's because our brain doesn't recognize a difference between real and what's not real, right?
Okay.
So you can, what's super interesting to me, I learned recently, is that you can get dopamine from starting and completing a task in your brain. So you never actually completed the task.
You just thought about it.
Thought the process through and completed the task. You can get the same dopamine as completing the task, which is not a good thing.
That applies to like telling people your goals too, right?
Oh,
like
it does apply.
Don't they say if you have like an agenda or a goal, don't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Just
That's
go
right.
do it. Because once you tell somebody, your brain's released that dopamine effect and you're I don't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely, I think that's true.
Yeah. So our brains are tricky things.
Yeah.
And our brains are the things doing the thinking. And so it's like impossible, or it feels impossible to step out of that cycle.
Yes. Right. Like we talked about meditating, and that's really just thinking about your thoughts, watching your thoughts. But that's a really hard practice, and it's hard to do in the middle of a spiral.
I'm leading here, but isn't meditating just like calming?
Is it calming? I don't think it's calming when you first start it.
I think a lot of people think it's just calming yourself down.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, I don't.
I'll bite. So what is meditating?
Okay, that's, I can take this one or you can. It's, what is, okay, so meditating is not calming yourself down. Meditating, although some forms of meditating might calm you, meditating is the practice of stepping out of your frame and looking at your frame. So I don't know. So what I think about whenever I'm meditating is that I'm just looking at my thoughts to observe my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So sure. I'm not thoughts will happen, and so I am thinking, but then I'm thinking about how I'm thinking about things.
Right. Which is very interesting, and it's really wild concept, but I think that's what needs to happen, because our thoughts are just unconscious and we let them run.
Yeah.
Right. Like we don't have control over them, but it's a real practice, as you know, to stop and think about your thoughts and how you're thinking about them, and not attaching an idea or feeling or a meaning to every single thought. And I think that's what happens with a spiral, right? We have a feeling, maybe it's anxiety, and maybe it's just a fleeting moment of anxiety that we could have let pass.
Which is an emotion.
It's an emotion, right? But then we immediately attach a storyline to it or a thought to it, and now it has a meaning, when most emotions will pass in 90 seconds if we will allow
just
them
let them pass.
Mm-hmm. And not attach a story to it.
Yeah, we have to. We have to attach the why.
To, as human beings, we always want to know why.
And it might just be anxiety.
Right. They're really, you and I, you and I have had this conversation so many times, and we're like, well, it might just be anxiety.
Yeah.
There may be no reason for it, and it is what it is. And if we could just maybe let it be, then
it might just go away.
And it might just go away.
Yeah. But, and I want to get back to the spiral. When we're in a spiral, And we don't know it, but our brains are looking for things that confirm. Our brains are functioning in confirmation bias mode. Mm-hmm. So how would you describe what confirmation bias is?
Well, our brain is, technically, it's our brain is looking out for us. It's trying to keep us safe, right?
Yeah.
That's its main job. Not, or at least in my opinion, it's its main job. It's not to keep us happy.
Okay.
So if
we're
right. Yeah. So if we're sometimes in a spiral and our brain is trying to find everything that could go wrong or is wrong or whatever the spiral is about, mm-hmm. right? That's your brain trying to keep you safe, right? It's trying to predict the outcome so then you can be ahead of it and avoid it.
Yeah.
And so that's then where the confirmation bias is going to come in.
So we inadvertently look for the things that confirm how we're feeling.
Yes. What is the other word for that? This is a fun game I love to play that we play work all the time. You know what I'm talking about?
No, which one?
Where you fulfill your own worst self-fulfilling prophecy.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So
you kind of create your own self-fulfilling prophecy through the mechanism of confirmation bias.
Hmm. Right.
Yeah, you feel some anxiety or you feel sad, okay, which
right.
is not the same as depression,
right.
okay? But you feel sad, and so you start looking for the thing that made you sad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you bias your confirmation towards things that will make you sad and which make you sad.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates this like loop that creates mm-hmm. the spiral. And what I call kind of like recursive negativity, it's like this spiral just takes you down and down and down until something happens to break you out of it. Right? And usually a self-destructive behavior of some type.
Usually.
You know, whether it's...
So, drinking whiskey.
Yeah, drinking whiskey.
Okay.
Or drinking a whole lot of whiskey and creating uh-huh. an incident with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Or going to someone and creating an issue, an argument, because...
Yeah.
Whatever has happened in that spiral in your mind is...
Yeah, like... happening onto some shame producing event.
Right, right. Ooh. The outcome is normally going to be a shame producing event, and then therefore puts you in a shame spiral. And so yeah. now you are.
It's taken on depth here.
Yeah. So how does one get out of this spiral?
That's really interesting. I mean, I have every old person who's kind of survived probably has some mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And not to suggest that whiskey would be that mechanism. I don't think it would be. However, I do know functional alcoholics, okay, who utilize this poison, mm-hmm. okay, as a medicine
mm-hmm.
in some ways. So, but that's not the best way.
No.
It's not the best way.
You've created another spiral.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could very easily. You
mm-hmm.
could. Yeah. You had some thoughts. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's so hard, right? Because when I think about what I've done over time and try to explain to someone else, you know, it's the brain is so interesting, right? So the first time you do something, you create a new neural pathway. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but every mm-hmm. single time you do something, it gets easier and easier, and you know.
It's like as long as you're treading on that path,
yeah.
you're wearing that path down.
Right, and so one of the things that I used to do when I didn't even know there was an actual term for it until recently, it's called reality testing, right? It's
mm-hmm.
what is happening currently, right now,
mm-hmm.
right? We're going to put this whatever's happening in my mind to reality. Is there something happening in this moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a crisis in front of me, Or is there something that I have to do today that I don't want to do? Or did I have an argument with somebody? Or am I afraid I'm having an argument with somebody? Or somebody's mad at me? Like, I'm putting all that to reality testing. Like, is there any real threat right now? Is anything really happening?
Okay. Okay. So you're kind of testing the whole, you're not just testing your confirmation bias, you're kind of testing your whole state in the moment.
Right. Like looking around and saying, hey, like actually trying to, in, you know, obviously grounding yourself back into the moment, into the reality of the moment, like your physical surroundings. But I mean, that's all very hard to do. I'm not you know, saying that that's an easy, any of those things are easy. They may sound easy, but they're not when you're in the middle of a spiral.
Right, right. Having people around you who know your tendency and whom you've discussed your spiral tendencies with, who can step in and say, hey, dude, you know.
Right.
It's like, you know, what's up? How are you?
Right. And, what's happening right now?
Yeah. Having a good therapist. But therapists don't, or counselor. I know you get into the difference between therapist and a counselor. But having a counselor who you engage with regularly, who can say, okay, what's up? And knows how to
bring you back into, ask the right questions. To bring you back into the present moment of reality of what's really happening.
And okay, so here's my bias. My bias is that we should all have that in some form or fashion.
Oh, absolutely. Therapy should not be a privilege, and it is.
Yeah, it's definitely a privilege. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so, and then going against the negative tendency, okay, so five times negativity, right? Going against that and making a point to pick out the positive.
Right. Just like something I remembered recently, especially having, you know, super sensitive little boy, is that it takes 10 positive words for every negative thing you've said to your kid or anyone else, right? To overcome that one.
Okay.
And so probably the same thing when we're
in a spiral.
Mm-hmm. To try to find the positive, and that's, it might be one thing. It might be.
So gratitude journaling.
Yes. I think gratitude journaling is, people think it's overrated. I don't think it's overrated.
I don't think so.
I think gratitude is really, really powerful.
Yeah, yeah. But part of the problem is it's a practice, okay? So a practice is something you engage with regularly as a rule, okay? So you're not doing it for something. You're just engaging with this practice regularly. So we Americans don't do practice as well, right? No. Some people do, I guess. They go walk the dog.
It's really for the dog.
Mm-hmm. And really, it's for them, but they think it's for the dog.
Right. It's right.
Yeah. 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 But people in shame spirals who don't know they're in shame, I say shame spiral, people in spirals who don't know they're in spirals don't know that they ought to be engaging with that practice in that moment. It's like gratitude journaling, if people only did it when they're in spirals, would be massively helpful.
It would be massively helpful. And it's hard to know you're in a spiral because that's kind of a background, right? Yeah. For all of us, or most of us, and we don't do a good job in this country talking about thinking about our thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. So, I really wish mood rings were actually accurate.
I do too.
That's weird. We just had, my wife and I had a conversation with my mom about those last night, and this is the second time in like 10 years I've heard the term mood rings out of nowhere.
I know. Sorry. It's like if we had something that could tell us our mood.
Our face. We have that. It's built in. It's right here. Our
How
face.
Do you tell? I mean,
I know. We've become such good liars.
Yo, hey, you know what? Like my tendency is, one of my tendencies is if I'm in a negative spiral, I won't look at myself in the mirror.
That makes sense.
It's weird that you're conscientious of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's, but yeah. And when I'm in a negative spiral, it's not that I recognize that I'm not looking at myself in the mirror, but when I think about on it and I look at myself in the mirror, I think, wow, I really don't look at myself in the mirror when I'm in a negative spiral. You know what'll like freak you out though?
What will freak me out?
Okay. And try this, but if it becomes too much, stop.
Okay.
Okay. But try to gaze through your eyes.
Into your own eyes in the mirror?
Yes.
I've done that before. It's very odd.
It's very odd. Yeah. Very uncomfortable. Very
yeah.
Yes, I've done it. It's very uncomfortable.
And okay, but and what my counselor would say is that we should get to where we're very comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tough practice. It really is. But okay, back to journaling. Okay, so like using a journal to pick out the positive aspects around you, the things you're thankful for, things you're grateful for. Okay, so that's a really cool tool. It really is, and it's just like jotting down like the five things that come into your brain that you're like, oh, thank God for toilet paper. You know, like really.
Nobody wants the family cloth. Yeah. Nobody. We came close in 2020, I think.
Yeah. That's a true story.
I would just resort to leaves at that point.
I know. I was wiping with paper towels.
I bought a bidet.
Yes.
Yes.
Then we all discovered the magic of the bidet. Life is so much better now.
Oh, the bidet, man, really had its moment.
Yeah. Toilet paper shortage? What? I don't care.
That's so yeah, I think, you know, of anything to take note, what else do you have, Sandy?
Well, I think that the gratitude journaling is great. I think that people think it's harder than it is. Literally, like you said, it's just anything you're thankful for.
Yeah, like, you know, one-liners.
Yeah, it can be anything. I mean,
sure.
It's simple.
Five positive things.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be some grandiose thing like you're, you know, thankful, uh-huh, whatever. Just, you know.
And so I don't, okay, but we all should be writing down gratitudes every single day, and I know almost nobody who actually does that.
No, and I think that we should actually write it, not type it in our phone, because
yeah,
there's a relation to writing things and getting them in your brain, the actual physical act of writing.
Yeah, yeah.
But how many people write anything anymore?
That's true. That's true. But does typing it into notes app?
Maybe.
Does that do the same thing?
I mean, I don't think so, but I definitely don't know everything, so I could be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I gotcha. Hmm.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the actual hand to brain.
The function of writing, the movement.
Mm-hmm.
The what John Vervaeke, this guy, okay, that guy, what he would say is the embodied aspect of mm-hmm, pen to paper.
Mm. Right. I mean, isn't that why we wrote our spelling words over and over, and we wrote our vocabulary words and definitions and...
Wow. So if you write positivity over over again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So how can somebody know they're in a negative spiral?
That's some self-awareness, and self-awareness is also a big practice.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to get to know yourself and to be aware of your patterns and your habits. That's a daily practice.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I don't know that that's something we ever stop, right? I think we're probably getting to know ourselves until we die.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that that's a...
Then hopefully it's all not for nothing.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah,
it matter?
But is this something?
Does
like,
it matter?
Yeah, well, I would hope so. But is this something your therapist could help you unravel and discover yourself, or a counselor?
Most certainly.
Yeah,
yeah. Giving you practices to take assessment mm-hmm of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Giving you a safe space to be vulnerable and authentic with yourself.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so many people struggle with vulnerability.
Yeah.
So many people.
Yeah. I can barely even say the word.
Right. Well, one thing I've been doing recently is I've been taking assessment. So I can take assessment of the content I'm engaging with,
mm-hmm,
and separate myself from that content and just see, okay, it like you're really kind of down a path with this content. It's like you are engaged. This is what I'm telling myself. You're engaging with uber political stuff, conspiracy theory stuff. That's one thing I do kind of in a negative spiral is I will like get way down the path of like conspiracy, which is fun. Everybody should engage with conspiracy theories because it's just fun.
Yeah.
Right. But whenever you start like taking on these,
when it really affects your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can find that I seek them out.
Yeah.
Right. And I can kind of use that myself to cue myself to say, okay, how are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, really, how are you doing?
Okay.
So that's interesting. The music I listen to. Yeah.
Music's a big one.
Yeah. So if I'm kind of readily burying myself in harder music, you know, it's like harder forms of music, Tool, rap. Lamb of God. That's like, obviously, I'm in a negative state.
Yeah.
And I need to think about something.
Sure.
Not even think about it. I need to think about how I'm thinking about something.
Okay.
Or really sad country.
Oh, yeah. There's some downer shit with country.
No shit. And so maybe those days are not the days you watch Taylor Sheridan.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because that's some hard content.
Well, I think that's a valid point. I think that you do have to seek out happier music and you have to seek out happier things, or at least stay away from the negative things.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't find happier things, stay away from the negative things.
Yeah, I got you.
Like, I'm probably not going to be on social media tomorrow. I don't want to read everybody's ups and downs and this is the end of the world or Trump's doing this or TikTok's gone again or just, you know, I mean.
Yeah. It was only gone for 4 hours.
It was insane. I know.
But knowing that,
you know,
you're just not going to put yourself in.
Right. Because it's not worth the ride. I don't want to get on that roller coaster.
Yeah.
And it's just an energy suck. It's a time suck. It doesn't matter. I don't have control over anything that happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
None of us do.
True.
So
true.
Whatever happens, happens, right?
Yeah, so that's some perspective too. Is you recognize that these things that might be contributing, or you might be turning to in the spiral, are really not you. They're kind of like, you know, they're world stage type stuff. And
right.
Yeah, I gotcha. It's like concentrate on the things you can affect most, which is your friends and family.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, the world is a hard place to live.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I do love a good conspiracy theory. And my favorite saying about that is it's only a theory until it's proven right. And most of them are, right?
Give them time.
They have been.
Yeah. Right. But you can, I mean, I've also gone down some really bad trails and it really disturbs me. I went down Pizzagate and it is something I still regret going down.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
Yeah, I still regret to this day going down that because I could have lived the rest of my life without knowing those horrors and atrocities that are probably true.
Yeah.
And it's not.
That you had no personal affectation on.
Control.
And can do nothing about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So definitely, I think if you're aware that you've gotten in a spiral or been in a spiral, being aware of looking for more positive things if you feel yourself going there again.
Yeah. How should somebody who has never meditated go about maybe seeking that out? I'm not sure they should, right? You know,
yeah,
I don't know.
So I think you have to be really self-aware of where you are. When I tried to meditate before, it almost put me over the edge.
Yeah,
it's way too much. And people will tell you, oh, start for 5 minutes. Absolutely not. Start for 1 minute.
Yeah, hardcore. Okay,
literally,
I like that.
One
I like
minute.
That. Yeah.
And you're not jumping to five in the next 5 weeks either.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe even just seek out a counselor who...
Find some guidance.
Yeah. And maybe it's not YouTube guidance right away. Like some
personal
mano-e-mano.
Find the counselor. Trained professional that you have to pay money for.
Yeah, and just say, oh, I want to learn to to meditate.
So, you know, really, in I think a more universal term that doesn't sound so scary is mindfulness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really okay. Meditation is mindfulness, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, mindfulness is a collective generalization.
Sure. It's, and mindfulness includes meditation, but right. A lot of people think it's the same thing, and maybe that's okay.
Yeah, I think it is, because meditation to me and to a lot of people just sounds overwhelming.
Yeah, okay.
And they have a whole idea about it, right? Like, you've got to have like the little, you know, bowls, the Tibetan bowls and the ohms and a yoga mat. And I mean, really, that you don't need any of that. So, but if you say mindfulness, that sounds like doable, right?
Yeah, training.
Being aware of your
awareness.
Thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say I found a, what do you call that? Hypnotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a woman, and she had like, it was like $10, right? For a month. And so I did a few at night, and I will say, and it wasn't like.
It was like self.
Right. It was just like a real soothing, calming, just explaining how to breathe and some imagery, real low key, nothing just too out there that would freak anybody out. And it actually was amazing.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's another, you know, little step into that, I think.
Uh-huh. Like reaching for an app or...
Right.
But maybe you just need to get somebody if... But...
Oh, I think a therapist... Everybody should have a therapist. Everybody. Mm. That should...
Yeah.
I mean, everybody should be... That's, have access to a therapist. And I hate that we don't live that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. That's... Well, in the spirit of positive media segment, mm-hmm. I actually sent a couple of positive posts that I found at, you know, as I was kind of grappling with my own negativity and they are very positive emotion producing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me cue this up here.
So I thought we would share. Okay. So this one, you have to actually click on it so the sound comes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's important.
Where is the,
it's on. It just needs to go up. So she's like helping him say goodbye to his pacifier.
Aww.
I mean, how good does this post make you feel? I mean, honestly...
I think it's pretty sweet.
Look, aww. He took it on, man. He's a big boy.
He got ownership of the process.
See, that's the shit you need when you're in a negative spiral is stuff like this. Okay, so that was it. Now the next one. The next one. And I couldn't figure out why this one made me happy.
I want to watch this again. So, okay. I didn't get to see it first, but... I like the song they chose for this.
Yeah.
And it's gone. Okay. All right. So the pacifier was indeed.
Yeah.
2 seconds later, though, that kid was like, "Where's my passy?" Camera cut. You know it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bedtime was rough that night.
Okay.
So y'all see if you can help me figure out why this one gave me like super positive vibes.
Okay, this I gotta move it to the computer.
Okay.
Did it go? There it is. Okay, it's up.
Dude, this one's a total win. It's freaking fantastic.
One shot. One shot.
Watch this.
One opportunity.
Girl against boy.
Sees everything you ever wanted. One moment.
Boom. Goes for the legs.
Just let it slip.
Yo. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous.
Oh, on the surface, he's on top.
He's calm and ready to drop palms, but he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over, plow. Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes gravity.
Now she's on top. Oh, look at that.
He won't have it. He knows his whole back to these ropes.
It don't matter.
Done.
He knows that, but he's pro. He's so like, he knows when he goes back to this mobile. Oh, I'm
tapped out. Tapped out.
Oh.
Okay, keep it going. Keep it going, though.
He is not happy.
See? Oh.
Aww.
Yeah.
He's still not happy, though.
Yeah, why did that feel like such good dopamine to me?
I don't know.
I think it's because I have girls.
Maybe so. Yeah, same here. Yeah. I was thinking that could be my daughter this whole time. Like, she's going to kick some ass. So
yeah, she is. Yeah, she is. And so I had to box that up. I posted it on the family post and everything. They love the hell out of it.
Mm. So any key takeaways from tonight?
I think the key takeaway is you can't know necessarily when you're in a bad place.
Okay,
if you're in a bad place and you're feeling and you know you're in a bad place, you're in a really bad place.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you can be like sort of in a bad place and have no recognition of that whatsoever. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you need to have the people around you. Even if it's a paid person, a paid therapist, have the people around you and have honest conversations with them, which we do, okay? And let them know that their role is to help you recognize when you're not in a good place or kind of ask you, okay, what kind of place are you in? So that you become reflective of that.
Okay.
And then consider gratitude journaling, because that is something super simple. Like, we write down five lines of things that make you gracious. Bidets really make me gracious, right? Yeah. You know, something that simple, and you just do that every single day, because it has the capacity to kind of guard against your own confirmation bias, which produces the spiral.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think that's the key takeaway. And what am I missing?
No, I think that is. It's because that is the key takeaway of retraining your brain. So you are ultimately doing that. You're retraining your own brain to look for the positive.
Hmm.
I like it.
I have a thought, like, speak kindly to others.
Oh.
Because it may not.
There's a thought.
Just you're going to improve their mood. It may not just be for them, but more so about you, like giving the gift.
Mm, I love it.
So.
Oh yeah. So my oldest daughter was really wise one time a few years ago. Which, you know, when you have older teenage daughters, it's rare that they're really wise. But one time, in a moment when I was upset about something, she said, "You know, when somebody does something hurtful to you, you should go do something nice for someone else. So we're going to go to Walmart and we're going to get this gift and we're going to give it for this certain person who's down right now."
Really good idea.
And I was like, wow, maybe she'll turn out okay. Maybe I had enough positive influence that she'll be okay.
The odds are in her favor for sure.
But I do agree with that.
Okay.
But you also need to speak kindly to yourself.
Yes, for sure.
And that's the first person you have to speak kindly to.
That's tough sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's easier to speak kindly to somebody else. So maybe you just start there.
Oh, absolutely. Starting there can go really far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, and maybe speaking kindly to somebody rolls itself into a bit of a therapeutic session.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in that, all you know, it might be dialogue engaging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, I'm in a bad place, but how are you, man? You good? It's like, you look good today. I like the color of your eyes. You know, it's like a little sexy.
Well, thanks, buddy.
You know, and then who knows? It's like, no, yeah. How, you said you're in negative space. What's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on? And it can kind of turn itself into a bit of a positive dialogue. But then again, it might be like, fuck you, man. Call me sexy. You know, it's then. So there's always like backfire potential.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? True. That counterpart may not be sitting here at the table today. Yeah, me sexy.
Maybe you have to think a little bit about who that person ought to be. Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay, cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's a wrap.
I have to say one disclaimer. In the spirit of not giving away all your dopamine, I'm not a therapist yet.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So, but you're on the path.
Oh, so close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. So we, how long is that window going to be open?
So I graduate with my MSW in May.
Okay.
And then I have to sit under a supervising therapist for 3,000 hours. So
wow.
Right, right. So you start doing therapy, but you have to be supervised, which, I mean, is totally fair.
Sure.
Right?
It is fair, yeah.
For 3,000 hours before okay. you are can have the full title.
Dang. You only have to fly a plane, like, for 50 hours before you get your, like...
Yeah. So I guess in some ways, maybe this country values mental health a little bit more than your physical health. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what key takeaways there are.
You
there.
Better, if your plane's crashing, hope there's a therapist on board.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I think that's a great end to our second round of PMS, or Positive Media Segment.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So if you like the segment here and you have any ideas or know people or yourself that would like to come on the show and contribute, we're always an open door.
Yeah. Call the doc line.
Call the doc line.
Post on our Facebook page.
Yeah, same. Post us up on the Facebook. Yeah, cool. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Sandy, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Fun chat. All right. Good night.
Adios.
Bye. We'll be right back.